The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, as you know, there's widespread dissatisfaction with the leadership of Liz Truss and the general public, but also with their own within her own party. Rumours have begun circulating that Liz Truss may be gone by Christmas or even sooner. I'm joined by Lucy Fisher, chief political commentator at the Times Radio. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning.
How would you describe the atmosphere in the Tory party at the moment?
Well, it is grim, it is febrile, and it is fairly chaotic. There is plotting going on many different levels and among many different factions. I think a huge degree of unhappiness with the Prime Minister from her backbenchers. What we need to see now is whether those rebels and critics will line up behind the same unity candidates to replace her. I think she may have a stay of execution in coming weeks if there can't be any consensus formed around who should replace her. Rishi Sunak, Ben Wallace, Jeremy Hunt, her new Chancellor, are names being thrown around, but so far critical MPs can't agree on the right choice of candidate with whom to try and install in her place. Mm.
Now, the question is the mechanism, because one of the issues about replacing your leader, who then becomes Prime Minister without going to the country, is that it appears to be anti-democratic, that a small, relatively small number of Tory party members decide who's going to be Prime Minister. So by what mechanism might they replace her without there being, you know, unavoidable calls for a general election?
Well, I think it's a really good question, Pat, and one that people are asking in earnest in the parliamentary party, some of whom think it's a bad idea to replace her because the party would then be forced to have a general election and potentially face electoral wipeout. I think before you get to the kind of idea about replacing her, how you actually force her out is also the source of much intrigue. I think there are three different mechanisms that people are working on trying to find solutions around. The first involves the 1922 committee. That's the backbench committee of the Conservative Party that makes the rules, either them changing the rules so that they could call a leadership, a confidence vote in her. At the moment, she's protected because, as the rules stand at present, new leaders cannot have a confidence vote called for the first 12 months. So the party committee could change the rules. Secondly, it could be that the cabinet could be brought in to tell her that her time is up and that she can't command the confidence of her most senior colleagues. And then there's even, and to my mind, this is almost the most extraordinary fact that conversations are happening about this, there's the idea of joining forces with the Labour Party to call some sort of censure motion or call some sort of vote of confidence in the House of Commons itself. So far, there isn't any agreement about these options, but those are the three territories in which people are looking. Yeah.
The third one would precipitate a general election, one would imagine. I'm not sure about the rules of engagement on that one, but it would be a very unusual action to take, and I can't see it happening without the prospect of a general election beyond, but I don't know enough about the minutiae of this. But suppose option number two, the cabinet call her in, or they knock on her door, you know, the proverbial bottle of whiskey and the metaphorical pistol, and say, your time's up, Liz Truss. What then? Because she resigns allegedly because she accepts that she's done badly. But then what is the mechanism for replacing her?
Well, that would all have to be worked out. Many MPs think they ended up with the wrong choice after the summer leadership contest because it was left in the hands of members. So there are many Conservative MPs who think the rules must be changed in any subsequent contest to allow MPs to select the, you know, the final candidate, and also to truncate the contest. You know, with the economic turmoil the UK is facing, I think there's a sense you couldn't possibly have 6 weeks to try and choose a new leader and leave that sort of vacuum of power again. But let's see. I mean, the big news this morning is obviously that Jeremy Hunt, the new Chancellor, is going to give a much earlier update on his tax and spend plans than had been predicted. We were waiting to hear about that on Halloween. He's actually going to update us today. And it may be that that steadies the markets, and in turn that steadies the level of confidence in Liz Truss in her party. It may allow her a few more weeks to try and turn the dire polling around.
Now, looking at some of the headlines about what would happen were the polls to be translated into seats, it would be a Labour landslide. I think the prediction is 411 Labour seats against 137 for the Tories. Now, that means there would be many Tory backbenchers and indeed frontbenchers who'd be looking at those numbers and say, my God, if this happens to us, we're bunched. Our political careers are over. So obviously action has got to be taken and taken quickly.
Well, I think you're right that that sort of landslide that would eclipse even sort of Tony Blair's 1997 landslide victory for Labour is a cause of concern for the Conservative Party. And I think that's one reason some people are very wary of trying to replace Liz Truss, because they think it would precipitate a general election before the party has any chance to try and, you know, pick up in the polls. And as well as sort of all the backbenchers who lose their seats, around 10 cabinet ministers, this would mean, you know, not just, you know, a huge swathe of current politicians losing their seats, but the party essentially being wiped out for a generation, potentially, because it would take so long, people imagine, to build up back to a degree where they could win an election again. So that is one of the factors. But others think that if Liz Truss staggers on, that things are only going to get worse in the polls. So it's worse to delay and allow her to stay there. So lots to weigh up in these calculations. There aren't any easy answers for the Conservative Party.
Now, when she presented, or her chancellor presented that mini budget, and you know, knocking 5% off the tax rate for the rich, she appeared to be absolutely shameless in its defence. Because ordinary people just say, "Are you crazy? The first thing you do is you give a tax break to the rich." She seemed utterly, as I say, shameless. And even since, in some of the statements she's made, I got the impression she's a bit delusional about her own competence.
Well, certainly many of her colleagues think she's been overestimated all her career, and that she's finally been exposed in a job as big as being Prime Minister. I think what, you know, the argument she made around sort of tax cuts for the wealthiest, and around cutting the cap on bankers' bonuses, was to try and make the UK more competitive, to try and encourage wealth creators to invest more. That's obviously a very contested argument, but I think that was what she was thinking, and how that would play into her so-called growth agenda. So yes, I think it was read as being fairly shameless by many members of the public. Obviously it's gone down badly, and at least on abolishing the top rate of income tax, she's already been forced to U-turn. Let's see what Jeremy Hunt says at 11 a.m. about whether, you know, we're going to see some of those other measures also have to be reversed, given how badly the markets have reacted.
Yeah, and one of the issues, of course, is the post-Brexit landscape, where the UK was going to develop all these brilliant trade deals, a number of them. Well, first of all, you had Joe Biden over the weekend, while eating ice cream, criticising the fiscal policy of the United Kingdom, which is fairly unprecedented to interfere in domestic politics. India is saying no trade deal until we sort out visa reform for our citizens. And, you know, there are those who say, look, the birth rate in Britain is on the decline. Unless you have organised immigration, the economy cannot grow. There are all sorts of things going on, and you can just point your finger back to one thing, one date, and that was the date of the Brexit vote, which has cast the UK adrift from a huge trading partner that was the EU.
Well, yes, I think that there are concerns, you know, around Brexit among some quarters of parliamentarians. I think, you know, some people feel that the COVID pandemic disguised the effects of Brexit in terms of depressing trade with, the UK's nearest and biggest partner, the EU. And then that is now becoming clearer as the COVID kind of pandemic has subsided. I don't think, for political reasons, though, that is likely to be revisited. You know, it's a painful political battle that led to, you know, division, you know, in society. And the Labour Party, you know, Her Majesty's opposition, are not willing to take it on with any sort of platform or ticket to go back into the single market or anything. So let's see. I have been interested in recent weeks that on October the 8th, Liz Truss was willing to attend the first meeting of this new European political community club that the French President Emmanuel Macron has been key in trying to pioneer. That does suggest some level of rapprochement with the EU and having some sort of more positive relationship in a reformed way, obviously nowhere near as deep as being a member of the European Union. But that has been read by many as positive signs. And there's also been some suggestion in recent weeks that the UK and the EU are heading closer to a landing zone to resolve some of the problems around the Northern Ireland Protocol. Again, that suggests that relations between the two could be looking up.
Lucy Fisher, Chief Political Commentator at The Times Radio, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.